Good morning, Denver. It's a great day. This is Bo Mitchell and Bob Belt and the Beatles.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
You bet it is, my friend.
Good day, sunshine.
Another fine Sunday morning, Bob.
It's a great morning.
And when the sun is out, I've got
springtime.
I can laugh about.
And the sun
I
is
feel
out.
Good in a special way. Sunny
and we're not only in love, we're in love with the person that invented love and can actually teach you how to love in the right way and stay fired up about your love the rest of your life, God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what the show's about. So, Bob, welcome.
Well, it's a good morning, and it's a great time of year as we kind of get cruising up on Easter here, isn't it?
It's really great, and I like who's staying center field? Fogarty?
Fogarty.
Yeah, put new grass on the field. It's like God is the God of new beginnings, fresh starts, second chances, new grass on the field, springtime, Easter, sunshine. It's all good, folks. And you've done a wise thing today, tuning into our program.
Even if it was only by mistake.
Yes. Not because of us. I'm Bo Mitchell. My co-host, Bob Belts, the smartest man in the world. But because of the fact that we bless you with by introducing you to guests each week, and our guests' lives speak just volumes about how you're supposed to live and the right ways to do things and impacting people's lives for Christ. But before we get to our guests today, Bob, let's talk a little bit about what's going on tonight at Highline.
You know, I was just thinking, we in the last couple of weeks, we had Mark Burnett and Roma on, and a lot of people enjoyed hearing them talking about the Bible series, and it's done great. I don't know if you know how great it's done, but it's the first week was like the number one show in all of television, I think, on Sunday night. And last week, I know it was the number one cable show, and they say that just between the first 2 weeks, that somewhere around 62 million people have watched parts of it. So I think everybody's quite excited about that. And now we get into the life of Jesus. So Sunday night, I just would encourage you, if you have the History Channel, to make sure and tune in to the Bible. It's at 6 o'clock here in the Denver area. And if you don't get cable, I just want to invite you to come down to Highline Community Church. We're a block south of Hamden on Colorado Boulevard, and we're showing it on big screen and at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. So,
and Bob Belts, our co-host here on You Get the Blessing, is the associate producer of that program. He worked with Mark Burnett and Roma Downey and basically said, folks, let me help you keep it all between the fence posts here theologically. So there's some tough stuff that's been in there in the Old Testament in terms of violence, but that's the way it was. Theologically, though, on the mark, right?
Absolutely. And even when they made little changes for the purpose of dramatically showing it visually, which is hard to translate a lot of times a book into, you know, a film, and the Bible is as challenging and complex as any book that's ever, you know, been put on the screen. But still, even when they made changes, they never messed with theology. So, you know, you can watch the entire thing, and every, you know, major theological point will be right on the money.
Good. Well, congratulations to Mark Burnett, Roma Downey, who've been on our show here in the last month, but also to you, Bob, because that's quite an amazing thing that 62 million people now are thinking about the Bible because it's sort of come to life through the screen for them.
Yeah, and you know what's great, and I would encourage also our listeners that maybe are, you know, you have a solid faith in Christ already, and you're maybe even watching the show. This is an unbelievable opportunity to invite a friend or a neighbor just to sit down and watch television with you that maybe never will, you know, would have read the Bible and get exposure, particularly to these episodes that are completely about, you know, the life of Jesus. So next two Sunday nights are big, big.
And even some of the stories that are so common to all of us, like last week, Mary, just well portrayed by a beautiful actor, shows up and says, hey, Joseph, I'm with child. And he's like, what? I thought I knew you. And she's like, it's okay. I haven't been with anybody. It's just about you and me. Please, I need you to be my husband. And he eventually hears also from an angel and says, yeah, I'm in. I'm all in.
I'm in.
Let's go.
One of my favorite scenes in the whole series was last week, by the way, when, and of course we know historically, so this is an incident. Historically, we're quite sure the wise men didn't show up the night Jesus was born because the Bible says it was later. And of course, traditionally, we always have them coming with the shepherds and everything. That's okay. But I love the scene where Balthazar, and again, we don't really know the names of the wise men. That's a tradition thing, and there probably were more than three. But, you know, but he asks the question. He says, "Lady, we believe your child is the promised king of his people." Ooh. And then he asks the question, "What's his name?" And when she says, "Jesus," his name is Jesus. I tear up every time. I've seen it, you know, 50 times, and I still think it's one of the great scenes.
That is Jesus. A phenomenal scene, and it does just put the Bible in your mind in such a way that it makes more sense maybe than ever for you. So tune in, folks. Yep. The Bible, we like blessing you on this show. This will be a blessing. It's not quite as incredible as the history of the Eagles, which is showing right now in Showtime, but it really is one of the great TV series of all time. Yep. So tune it in, and way to go, Bob. Our guest today is Chip Simmons, our friend Chip. Thanks for being in the studio.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So Chip Simmons is from Denver. He's a great guy and does a lot of great ministry work. But first, let's talk about Chip Simmons, the little guy who is growing up where?
Grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, born and raised.
Philly guy. And what was it like around your home growing up? Good home atmosphere? Tell us about your parents, your brothers, your sisters.
Inside the house, it was really good. I grew up, my grandmother and my mom and dad all, you know, in the same house. And my grandmother was a Pentecostal preacher, so.
Uh-oh.
I couldn't get away with much as a kid. And everything was kind of strict in our home, and no secular music and, you know, none of that stuff, and be home when the streetlights come on. Lived in a pretty rough neighborhood, so it behooved me to get home when the streetlights came on, because then it got kind of crazy after that.
So were you into athletics or academics or both?
I like to say I was an academic, but my school teachers will probably tell you different. I played a little sports. I was a kind of a sports guy and dug the sports thing, and you know, I know you want me to elaborate. I mean, it's just, I was never that great of an athlete. I did what I did and got through and worked hard at it, and probably got a little further than most because of the work ethic that I had. And there were guys with a lot more talent than I had, but nobody was ever going to outwork me.
So what moved you out to Denver?
Fellowship of Christian Athletes transferred me out here in 2001. So I've been here since January 2001.
And how'd you get connected with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes?
I worked on staff 3 years in Philadelphia. Met a guy out there who thought it was time for me to give back. I worked in sports since I was a kid, working for the Phillies. And when I became a Christian, they thought it would be a great transfer for me to jump right in, a no-brainer to jump right into FCA and start working with athletes on a younger age and kind of bring in some of the experience that I had growing up in my short playing days. And I worked out well, spent 13 years with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Wow. Well, I met Christ in a Young Life Club, and then at TJ here in Denver through Don Reverts, and then the FCA sort of kept me from completely blowing up at the University of Colorado. I was doing my best to blow up, but FCA is a good group, aren't they, Bob?
They are, and I look back on my own spiritual journey, and I went to an FCA camp when I was a high school athlete, and I know that I heard about Christ there, and I didn't at the time have any response. I don't think I probably completely understood it, but I believe that FCA, and of course my high school coach, Dwayne Unruh, who we know his son Kurt here in town, and his wife Barb always hosted the huddles at their house, and Barb was this phenomenal cook, and I used to, after I came to faith in Christ, I always tell her, you know, your cooking played a significant role in my conversion. But I think seeds were planted there, and I think sometimes you don't see the immediate fruit of that in the life of some of the young folks. Sometimes you do, but they plant good seeds for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So with FCA, what all did you do, Chip?
Well, I did inner city ministry for six of the 13 years I was there, and then I did college ministry. I worked at CU for four seasons with the football team there. Then I did some schools on the Western Slope and kind of did between inner city and college ministry, kind of took up the 13 years that I was there. And got to see a lot of kids come to Christ, in a way that was just kind of radical, just watching God do amazing things in their lives. And like you said, at that age, you're trying to blow it up. And I know I did at that age. And, you know, there was no FCA in my neighborhood. They weren't coming down to my hood. It was too gully down there, man. And but I blew up, and I just wanted to give back and make sure to help other kids not to blow up the same way I did.
So when you say you work with athletes like at the University of Colorado, and then we'll get to what you're doing now that I think everybody will find interesting, but you do chapel services before the games, I'm sure, but what else is involved in getting involved in those kids' lives?
We had a weekly Bible study, and most of the time it's just time, just being there, let them know, to say, hey, look, I know I'm a chaplain, but don't look at me just like that, because then you'll start to think that, hey, I'm this guy you can't approach, you can't tell me anything. And then I try to be open with them and tell them all about my life before Christ, and try to be an open book to let them know that, hey, you know, I had a whole life before Christ really got into my life and got a hold of me, and did a lot of crazy and bad things. So whatever you've done, I've probably done it or even more. So don't be afraid to tell me what it is.
So it's a pressure cooker in terms of just complicated tasks these young guys are being asked to do, and in front of 50,000 people, and all kinds of questions come up about, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? And yet I think with most young people, fear is what is the dominant feeling. Not just about a game, but am I going to meet somebody and get married? Am I ever going to make a living? Am I going to get through school? Do you feel that a lot?
Yeah, when you get to that age and that level of playing sports, one of the biggest fears they have is, am I going to meet somebody who loves me for me? Hmm. Or am I meeting somebody that loves the number and the name on my back instead of loving just me as a person? Sometimes they don't really get to know them as a person. They get to know them as this athlete and see them on the field, and they may be totally different when you see them off the field. Hmm.
So now tell us, as God's kept you moving forward in your ministry, what do you do these days?
I started a ministry a couple of years ago called After the Game Ministries. I got let go from FCA and CU in the same week, and that was a tough pill to swallow. I haven't been let go of anything since I was 15 and got fired from Kentucky Fried Chicken. So it was kind of a tough pill to swallow. And then one day I was in prayer, and God just put on my heart, what about all those athletes that get released, get cut, or just wind up retiring and never get to play their game again? Who's ministering to them? You know, as a chaplain, you spend most of your time with it's hard enough with the guys you got in the room every day with you. And then when the guys leave, it's kind of hard to keep connected with them. But God had kind of wired me over the years. I was with the Crush for 5 seasons as well. And God kind of wired me over the year to stay in touch with those guys, even after they left the team. And this was kind of a no-brainer when he put it on my heart to reach out and just minister to athletes that are struggling after the game is over and when they're not playing, can't play anymore. That goes for male and female, collegiate and professional.
My dad, Dale Mitchell, I love talking about, passed away in 87, but he played for the Cleveland Indians and the Brooklyn Dodgers from 1946 to 1956. And he had a very successful life after he retired. Had one good year the rest of his life. He had a very successful life as a businessman, but I also still noticed, and we would talk about, he never found anything to replace the packed Yankee Stadium feel of a World Series game and everybody cheering for you.
Yeah, and it's got to be hard when you think about, you know, just as human beings, we're always trying to figure out our sense of identity. And, of course, you know, athletics becomes that for, you know, so many of us that, you know, I mean, I'm like you. I was like a marginally okay athlete, but it was my identity for sure, you know. And so, you know, when that ends, and I think about pro guys today that, you know, their life is so hooked into that as a sense of identity, and yet, you know, that's not going to last very long because there's that window when physically you can actually play at that level, and when that's gone, you know. And I imagine you are – I think what you're doing is amazing because there's got to be, you know, tremendous struggle putting that together.
It kind of is. You know, Charles Barkley always says that Father Time is undefeated. And no matter how long you're in the game, eventually it's going to be over. And it's been a challenge, but it's been fun because now we're starting, people are starting to know who we're here. We have Bible studies going on around the city here, and we're about to start our second Bible study in September with athletes in the South. And so we're trying to hit, growing up in Philly, we had the four corners, North, East, South, and West. So in here, I'm not quite sure how the corners line up, but in my own mind, I picked four corners of the Colorado area, of the Denver metro area. And we're trying to get at least four Bible studies going in East Side, West, North, South, and East of the city here. So right now we got one and about to start our second one, and God's just opening doors. And
so are most of the folks you're dealing with believers who have accepted Christ, or are they just still exploring?
Still exploring. The ones that come to Bible study, a lot of them have, but the ones I work with online I work with athletes in Kansas City, and I work with athlete that's out in California. So I'm working with different guys and girls trying to help them to find that next level. If they need to talk to somebody about some area that I'm not familiar with, I have a resource that I can connect them with. And not only are we a Bible study and a discipleship ministry, we're a resource ministry as well.
So after the game, Chip Simmons, that's who we're talking to today. Let's talk about identity in general, because that's kind of interesting. What does our Creator and Father expect us to think along these lines?
You know, there's a great, kind of a great passage. One of my favorites on that is in Psalm 139, and it's written by David, you know, King of Israel, and who, you know, struggled, you know, had his struggles as we all do, but also I think he was the greatest king, you know, in the history of Israel. And sometimes I when I look at Psalm 139, I think this is why he was the greatest king in Israel's history, because he had this sense of identity that was so rooted in his relationship with God and how God had, you know, created him. You go through the psalm, and it literally talks about how God wove him together, you know, in his mother's womb. So his physical, you know, abilities and attributes were, you know, were God given. But he goes on and talks about, you know, his innermost being, which I think is kind of like our personality, the way God has shaped us, that God had also created us internally. And then he talks about how the days of his life, you know, that God had ordained or written, so that life experience, that God has a hand in that. As a matter of fact, he makes the statement that all of my days, you know, were written in your book before one of them came to be. And I always view that not as deterministic, you know, like everything so predetermined, but I almost feel like that there's it's as if God has a book of, you know, potential opportunity and what he really has planned for us. And in a sense, our job is then to discover day by day, you know, what that is. But, you know, so really in David's life, his identity, you know, was so hooked into his relationship with God that, you know, the end result of that was that he, you know, started out as just a shepherd and actually kind of the runt of the litter in his own family, and ends up becoming a great king. And again, I think identity, it was all tied up in identity.
So your identity as a servant now, to this specific pool of mankind that has their identity in athletics and now is in this kind of zone of thinking, okay, I need to reload here. It's after the game, and I need to go ahead and live the next 20, 40, 60 years of my life. Give us some stories of success where you see the light go on for somebody and they think, actually, everybody does play their last game at some point, and there is a whole lot of life left to live. But you got anything that pops in your mind that might inspire our listeners?
Yeah, we have a guy that I won't say his name, but he played here in 96 in the famous game against against Jacksonville, and then he went on to play with the Cowboys for a while, but he's back here living in Colorado in the workforce like all of us now. But man, just has this great heart for the Lord, but also has matured enough now to understand that, hey, there's a whole life after the game. And when we get these younger athletes that are coming in right out of college, right out of the game, he's helping them along the way, showing them that, hey, you know what, it can be done. It changes. And I understand that one of the things that athletes miss more than anything a lot of times is that camaraderie in the locker room and that time that you spend with your teammates on the road. And you know how it is. The road is kind of one of the best places, you know, where you get to know each other, because it's just you guys against the world, it seems like, when you're on the road. And what he's helping them understand is, hey, we can't recreate that kind of environment in this Bible study, but we can give you a resource and people that you can sit down and talk to that have been through the same thing that you've been through and played on such a high level that he played on. And now he's been like an amazing influence on these young athletes as they come in. So it's been great to have him in the Bible study.
Good word. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage you parents, doesn't always work this way, but I just think there's so many good things that can be learned only through the fire of athletics that I would at least nudge my kids towards getting involved and don't be wondering if they have to be good or great or always a prospect moving to the next level. Just let them have fun. I think I taught my son till the eighth grade, have fun, play ball, be friends. And that's what I wanted out of the experience for him. Just because of that, you learn to get up when you're knocked down. You learn to be a teammate. You learn to respect authority, the coaches around you, and just have a group of friends and you're fighting for a common goal together. It's a lot of life you can learn during those formative years. So parents, if you're wondering what to do, don't push them, but go ahead and nudge them in that direction.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that that's true just kind of even beyond the world of sports for kids that's not going to be their niche, helping them find where they can find that, you know. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about music for a lot of kids' music. And, you know, when the marching band refused to yield, they were like, you know, tougher than the team, you know. So anyway.
Little Don McLean song there. And Chip, tell us what's coming up for after the game. What can people do to help you? Where can they find you? You got a website we can contact and give you money or?
Yeah, we can use all of the above. A lot of prayer, a lot of movement. Anybody that's in the former athlete out there that wants to get involved, our website is afterthegameministries.org or .com. We have both of them tied up right now, which is good and a blessing from God. So if you want to look us up, find us there. All my information is on the website. And if God is moving you to give, it's on there too. So,
and if you give $1,000 and you impact 1,000 lives. Look how you're going to multiply that, folks. So meet Chip Simmons, have him come out to your church, speak, and you'll get the blessing. Chip, You're a great guy. We appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm glad God's using the way he is. Let's stop and talk a little more about the Bible tonight as we close the show. Our co-host Bob Belts here on You Get the Blessing was an associate producer on the production of this five-part series called The Bible. Mark Burnett, who's probably the hottest producer in Hollywood right now with shows like The Voice and
Survivor.
Oh, yeah, creator of Survivor.
Shark Tank. Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
So he just keeps coming with this stuff. And he and his wife, Roma, love the Lord, have been on our program sharing their faith and their story about how they were inspired to do this. And it's very complicated what they've done, but it's quite spectacular, isn't it, Bob?
It is. And I was thinking just, again, as Chris was given the, you know, just the website to get people access to after the game, there's also a tremendous website called Bible.com. I mean, this is these are some guys that make the Bible available for download for free on your iPhones and different kinds of apps, and they've gotten involved as supporters of the overall project, but took some time, but tied up that website, Bible.com, and there's tremendous resources for folks there. So I'd encourage people to go take a look at that too. But again, you know, we're excited. We have several, you know, 100 people on Sunday night that don't have cable coming and having a good time together. And I usually give a little behind the scenes, you know, stories of what happened on the shoot and stuff. But, you know, it's a great, great series. And, you know, potentially what it's also doing is sending a huge message to people in the television industry that there's an unserved audience that, you know, really is looking for the kind of programming that, you know, fits with their own value systems instead of most of what the options are out there.
Well, scripture that says a prophet is without honor in his own land fits here, because we have Bob Belts here on this program every week, and God taps him on the shoulder and says, get involved with Mark Burnett, Roma Downey, and help produce this series accurately. And I guess I'm saying, folks, maybe you're like me and Sports Illustrated or the business section or the internet are just easier to read. I'm saying the Bible is where we need to be going for our life-changing information. And this series will bring it alive for you. So maybe for some of you, it'll be a recommitment to understanding and being interested in reading the Bible. Others, it might be a first-time eye-opener to think, these things really happened. This is a historical account that can come to life now for me and change everything that's going on in my life. So I'd say tune in 6 o'clock tonight. Show up at Highline Community Church 10:15 this morning for services and hear the greatest Bible teacher I've ever been around, Bob Belt, share. But it's all good stuff, isn't it, Bob?
It is great. And again, we hope that those of you that are listening have a place to hook in. And if you're out there and you're feeling alone and you don't quite understand what we're even talking about, know that you're always welcome to come to Highline and we'll try and make you part of the community.
Blessings, folks. See you next week. Thanks again to Chip Simmons for being our guest.
Chip.
My pleasure.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
We take a walk. The sun is shining down. Burns my feet as they touch the ground.